The council hall smelled of beeswax, old leather, and tension. Nellie moved through the side corridor with a silver tray in her hands, her steps silent over the cold stone floor. She knew every crack in those stones, every shadow the torches cast against the granite walls darkened by centuries of smoke. 7 years serving Dawnmere Castle had taught her that the most dangerous places were never the dungeons or the training yards. They were the halls where powerful men gathered to decide the fate of others. Tonight, the fate at stake belonged to the entire pack. She entered through the side door, as was custom for castle maids, and took her place along the wall, waiting for the right moment to pour the wine. The meeting was already underway. Around the long oak table carved with the symbols of the 5 allied packs, 20 men spoke in low, controlled voices. Strategists, elders, trackers, royal court advisors. 20 experts gathered to solve a single problem. Who was sabotaging the northern storehouses? For the past 3 months, grain reserves and medicinal herbs destined for the smaller packs had been disappearing. Not stolen through violence, but redirected with surgical precision. Routes altered, seals forged. Records tampered with using the same ink as the royal scribes. Someone with internal access was draining the resources that sustained the packs under the protection of Alpha King Evander, and the smaller communities were beginning to feel the consequences. Evander sat at the head of the table. Nellie knew him from a distance, the way all the maids knew him. He rarely spoke loudly. He rarely needed to. There was a quality to his silence that organized the space around him, as though the air itself behaved differently in his presence. His dark hair fell slightly over his forehead, and his eyes, a deep green so dark they were nearly black, swept the room with the patience of someone who had learned that watching reveals far more than asking. To his right sat Beta Sorin. Nellie had known Sorin for years. He was the second most powerful wolf in the pack, and everyone respected him. Tall, broad-shouldered, with amber-colored hair and a smile that always arrived a half-second before his words. Competent, loyal, articulate. He was the one who coordinated supply routes, signed transfer records, and held unrestricted access to the pack's official seals. Tonight, he was presenting the findings of the expert panel. After thorough analysis of the records from the past 3 months, Sorin said, his voice steady, his eyes fixed on the map spread open across the table. We have concluded that the diversion occurs between the third and fifth stopping points along the northern route. Our trackers identified signs of unregistered wagons near the Holt Forest. The most likely explanation is that an external group has been infiltrating false delivery agents. Murmurs of agreement moved around the table. Nellie began pouring wine, moving from chair to chair with the effortless invisibility of someone who had spent years being overlooked. It was precisely that invisibility that allowed her to see what others did not. She stopped behind Sorin at the moment he turned a page of the report to show the Alpha King, and that was when she saw it. It was not something obvious, not a written confession, not a forbidden symbol. It was something only a person who spent hours organizing documents, cleaning offices, and collecting discarded papers would recognize. The ink. Sorin's report used 2 different inks. The main body of the text was written in the official royal scribe's ink, the deep blue-black shade that Nellie recognized because she was the one who cleaned the inkwells every morning. But the margin annotations, the route numbers, the transfer dates, those were written in a slightly different ink. Denser. With an almost imperceptible sheen when the torchlight caught the page at a certain angle. It was the same ink Nellie had found in one of Sorin's desk drawers 3 weeks earlier, when she had been cleaning his office after he left in a hurry. An ink that did not appear in the castle's official inventory. An ink she had never seen delivered by any authorized supplier. At the time, she had thought nothing of it. An unusual ink was not a crime. But now, staring at the report Sorin was presenting as evidence of an impartial investigation, Nellie understood exactly what she was looking at. The numbers that pointed blame toward outside agents had been inserted afterward. The dates that shifted suspicion away from internal sources were recent, written over an older document using ink that did not match the original. The report had been partially rewritten, carefully enough to fool anyone who did not know how to tell the two inks apart. But Nellie knew. She finished serving the wine and stepped back to her place along the wall, as was expected of her. Her heart beat hard inside her chest. Around her, 20 experts nodded along with the conclusion Soren had presented. Men with decades of experience in investigation, tracking, and document analysis. Not one of them had noticed. She looked at Evander. He sat with his eyes on the table, his fingers pressed together in front of his face, in the posture she had learned to recognize as deep concentration. He was not convinced. She could see it in the slight furrow between his brows, in the way his eyes moved to the edges of the map, as if searching for something the others were not showing him. But he did not have the answer either. Nellie stood still for nearly a full minute, fighting a silent argument with herself. She was a maid. She had no standing name, no rank in the court, no right to speak in council meetings. If she spoke, she would be dismissed. Or worse, she would be seen as someone who had dared interrupt a gathering of pack leaders with an unsupported theory. But if she stayed silent, the storehouses would continue to be drained. The smaller packs would continue to suffer. And the man behind it would continue sitting beside the Alpha King, smiling with that smile that always arrived half a second before his words. She looked down at the empty tray in her hands. Then she made the most frightening decision of her life. "Excuse me." Her voice came out steadier than she expected. The entire hall turned toward her. 20 pairs of eyes, including Evander's dark green gaze and Soren's suddenly rigid stare. "Yes," one of the advisors said, with the mixture of surprise and condescension Nellie knew well. "I need to show the Alpha King something," she said, without moving her feet. "About the report." The silence that followed had texture. It was made of disbelief, irritation, and the particular kind of incredulity that arises when someone violates the unspoken rules of a room built on hierarchy. Soren was the first to speak. "This woman is a cleaning maid," he said, with a calm that was almost perfect. Almost. "She has no clearance to be part of this conversation, let alone to interrupt it. She is here because I authorized service staff entry," Evander said, his voice low and completely neutral. His eyes were fixed on Nellie. "Speak," he said. It was not an invitation. It was a simple, direct order, without judgment and without guarantee. Only the space for her to use or waste. Nellie set the tray on the nearest table edge, walked to where the report lay open, and pointed to the margin annotations without touching the paper. "This document has been altered," she said. The margin notes were written with a different ink than the one used in the body of the text. Anyone familiar with the castle's ink inventory can see the difference when light strikes the page at a certain angle. She kept her eyes on the report, not on Soren. "The ink used in those annotations is not in the official inventory. I saw a vial of that same ink in the Beta's office 3 weeks ago." The silence this time had a different quality. It was the silence before a storm. Soren let out a short, controlled laugh. "This is absurd," he said, and there was something in his voice now that was no longer merely condescension. It was urgency dressed as outrage. "Alpha King, this woman is clearly confusing common office supplies with some conspiratorial fantasy. We cannot allow..." "Bring a second light source," Evander said. No one moved for a moment. "Now," he said, in the same quiet tone as before, but carrying a weight that made two men rise from their chairs simultaneously. An additional torch was brought forward. Evander stood from his chair for the first time that evening, walked to the report, and lowered the flame over the pages. The difference between the two inks appeared like a scar across the paper. The entire hall saw it. Nellie took one step back, her hands folded in front of her, and waited. She had done what she could do. Whatever came next was no longer her decision to make. But as she waited, she felt Evander's gaze settle on her with an attention that was uncommon. It was not the look of someone examining a maid who had spoken out of turn. It was the look of someone seeing a person for the very first time. The torch burned steadily above the open report, and no one in the hall spoke. The two inks were unmistakable now. Side by side under the doubled light, the difference was plain enough that even someone who had never touched a quill in their life could see it. The body of the report, written in the deep blue-black of the royal scribes, sat in sharp contrast against the margin annotations, which carried a denser, slightly greenish sheen that caught the light differently. Two separate documents merged into one, stitched together with enough care to deceive anyone who was not looking for it. 20 experts had not been looking for it. A maid who cleaned inkwells every morning had been. Evander straightened slowly and set the torch back in the hands of the guard beside him. He did not look at Soren immediately. He looked at the table, then at the map, then at the other men seated around the room, reading their faces the way Nelly had seen him read documents, methodically, without urgency, collecting information before drawing any conclusion. Then he looked at Soren. "I would like to hear your explanation," he said. His voice had not changed. It was still low, still measured. But something beneath it had shifted. The way the surface of a river looks calm, while the current beneath moves fast and cold. Soren held his posture for a moment longer than was natural. "Alpha King, I assure you there is a perfectly reasonable explanation for any variation in the document. Scribes sometimes switch materials mid-report. It is common practice when..." "The castle scribes use one ink," Evander said. "It is ordered in bulk from the same supplier every quarter. The head scribe has confirmed this to me personally on more than one occasion." He paused. "The ink in those margins was not ordered by this castle." Soren's smile did not disappear, but it stopped moving. It became fixed, like something painted over a different expression underneath. "I stand by the conclusions of the report," he said. "Whatever the source of the ink, the findings speak for themselves." "The findings point blame at external agents," said one of the elder advisors, a heavy-set man named Cador, who had served the pack for 30 years. He was leaning forward now, studying the document with new eyes. "But if the route numbers and transfer dates were inserted after the fact, then the findings were constructed to point in that direction. They do not reflect what was actually found. The room shifted, not physically, but the weight of attention moved, the way it does when a crowd realizes it has been facing the wrong direction." Nelly remained at the edge of the room, her hands still folded in front of her, her eyes down. She was not invisible anymore, she understood that. But old instincts were hard to shed, and keeping herself small felt safer than whatever came next. "Bring the castle's ink ledger," Evander said to one of the guards at the door. While they waited, no one spoke. The silence was the kind that fills a room when everyone present understands that something is being decided, but no one yet knows which way it will fall. Soren remained in his seat. His hands were flat on the table, perfectly still, which Nelly noticed because stillness of that kind requires effort. Natural stillness does not look like control. His did. The ledger arrived. A thick, bound volume carried by one of the senior scribes. A young man with ink-stained fingers who looked alarmed at having been summoned so abruptly. Evander opened the ledger himself and turned to the entries for the past 4 months. He ran his finger down the columns without rushing. "One supplier. One type of ink. Delivered every 12 weeks." He closed the ledger and set it on the table beside the report. "The ink in these margins comes from somewhere else." He looked at Soren again. "Where?" For the first time since the meeting began, Soren did not answer immediately. The pause lasted only a few seconds, but in a room full of people trained to read hesitation, it lasted long enough. "I want the Beta's office secured," Evander said, addressing the two senior guards by the far door. No one enters or removes anything until I say otherwise. Soren rose from his chair. Evander, he said, and the shift to the Alpha King's name without title was itself a signal, something between a plea and a warning. We have known each other since we were young. You know who I am. You cannot honestly believe that I would... Sit down, Soren. 3 words. Quiet as the others. But they landed in the room like stones dropped into still water. Soren sat down. Nelly exhaled slowly, keeping the breath controlled so it made no sound. Her legs had been tense since the moment she first spoke, and she only now realized how tightly she had been holding herself together. The part of her that had spent 7 years being careful, being small, being unnoticed, was screaming at her to step back further, to disappear into the wall, to let the powerful men handle what came next. But another part of her, the part that had spoken up in the first place, stayed where it was. Elder Cador turned in his chair and looked at her directly. He had the kind of face that had seen enough of the world to no longer waste time on pretense. "You said you saw this ink in the Beta's office," he said. 3 weeks ago. Can you describe the circumstances?" Nelly met his eyes. "I clean the senior officer's offices every morning," she said. 3 weeks ago, the Beta left his office in the middle of the morning without finishing his work. That was unusual. He normally stays until midday. When I went in to clean, I noticed a desk drawer left partially open. There was a small vial inside, dark glass, no label. The ink was visible at the stopper. I recognized the color as different from what we use here, but I did not think it was significant at the time. "Did you touch it?" Cador asked. "No." I closed the drawer and cleaned the rest of the room. "Did you tell anyone?" "No. I had no reason to, at the time." Cator nodded slowly and turned back to Evander. "The girl's account is consistent with what the document shows," he said. "This deserves a full investigation, not just a secured office." "Agreed," said another man at the table, younger than Cator, with sharp eyes and the insignia of the Eastern Pack on his collar. His name was Aldrich, the representative of the Greymoor Alliance, and he had been quiet throughout the entire meeting until now. "If the Beta has been altering supply records, the diversion routes could be traced. The missing resources did not vanish. They went somewhere. Find the ink's source, and you find where they went." Evander listened to all of it without interrupting. When the room fell quiet again, he straightened in his chair and addressed the guards. "The Beta will remain in the hall under escort until I have reviewed his office personally." He paused. "The investigation will be reopened from the beginning, under Cador's oversight, not the Beta's." Soren's jaw tightened. It was the only visible sign of what was happening beneath the surface. "And the maid," Aldrich said, glancing toward Nelly with an expression she could not immediately read. It was not dismissive. It was something closer to careful assessment. "What do we do with someone who just uncovered in 1 minute what 20 specialists missed over 3 months?" The question landed in the room with more weight than he probably intended. Several of the men at the table looked at her again, some for the first time as though she were actually a person in the room rather than part of the furniture. It was an uncomfortable feeling, not unpleasant, but unfamiliar, like stepping into a space that had no shape she recognized. Evander's eyes moved to her last. He studied her the same way he had studied the report. Not quickly, not with performance. With the particular attention of someone who understands that first impressions of useful things are often wrong. "What is your name?" he asked. "Nelly," she said. "I have been with the castle staff for 7 years." 7 years, he repeated, as if placing the number somewhere in his memory. He said nothing else immediately, but he did not look away from her either, and in the economy of expressions that governed his face, that itself meant something. Elder Cador cleared his throat. "She should be kept available for questioning during the investigation," he said practically. "Her observations are part of the record now." She will be, Evander said. Then, for the first time that evening, he turned back to the full room and spoke with the finality that ended meetings. This council session is closed. The findings of the previous investigation are suspended pending full review. Everyone here is to consider the details of tonight confidential until further notice. Chairs scraped, men rose. The low sound of voices returned to the room in careful, subdued tones as the experts who had missed what a maid had caught in 60 seconds began the quiet work of rearranging their understanding of the situation. Nellie picked up her tray from the side table and walked toward the service door. She was nearly through it when a voice behind her said, quietly enough that only she could hear, Nellie. She turned. Evander had not moved from his place at the head of the table. He was looking at her across the length of the room, and the expression on his face was not gratitude, not yet, and not surprise either. It was something more measured than both. You did the right thing, he said. She held his gaze for exactly as long as it took to understand that he meant it. Then she stepped through the door and into the corridor, where the cold stone and the familiar smell of wax and wood smoke closed around her like something she had always known. But she was not entirely the same person who had walked in. The investigation began before dawn. Nellie knew this because she was awake before dawn, the way she always was. 7 years of early mornings had built a rhythm into her body that no amount of extraordinary events could interrupt. She dressed in the gray light of her small room in the servants' quarters, braided her dark hair back from her face, and went to the kitchen to begin the morning tasks as though the previous night had been ordinary. It had not been ordinary. The kitchen was already alive with whispered conversation when she arrived. The other maids clustered near the bread ovens, speaking in low voices with the particular energy of people who had heard something significant, but only pieces of it. Nellie moved past them toward the supply shelves without engaging, gathering the cleaning materials for the morning rounds. Nellie. She turned. Her closest friend among the castle staff, a woman named Bretta, stood near the door with a clay cup of morning tea and an expression caught somewhere between concern and fascination. Bretta was a few years older than Nellie, broad-faced and steady, with the kind of calm that came from having survived enough difficult things that new ones no longer rattled her easily. I heard what happened last night, Bretta said quietly, handing her the tea. All of it, or close enough. Word travels fast, Nellie said. In this castle, it travels before the people do. Bretta studied her face. Are you all right?
I am fine.
You interrupted a council meeting and accused the Beta of document fraud.
I pointed out a discrepancy in the ink, Nellie said carefully. The Alpha King drew the conclusions. Bretta gave her a long look. Same thing, from where I stand. She paused. Soren is being held in the east wing, two guards on his door. The steward told me himself not an hour ago. Nellie wrapped both hands around the clay cup and let the warmth settle into her palms.
Then the investigation is moving, she said.
It is. And apparently Elder Kador has requested that you be made available for questioning at any point during the review.
Bretta tilted her head slightly. Which means you are no longer just a maid in someone's eyes.
I am still a maid.
You are a maid, who the Alpha King addressed by name in front of 20 council members, Bretta said.
In this place, that is not nothing.
Nellie drank her tea and said nothing more, but she thought about it as she moved through the morning, collecting linens, carrying water, restoring order to rooms that had been used the night before. She thought about it in the way she thought about most things, carefully, from multiple angles, without rushing toward a conclusion. She was not foolish enough to believe that one correct observation changed who she was or where she stood. Courts were not transformed by single moments of clarity. Power redistributed itself slowly, through structures and decisions and deliberate choices made by people who already held it. One maid with sharp eyes did not rewrite that. But something had shifted. She could feel it in the way the other staff moved around her that morning, with a slight additional caution, a fractional increase in attention,
as though recalibrating how much space she occupied. She was in the upper corridor near the library wing, replacing candles in the iron holders along the wall, when she heard footsteps behind her that did not belong to anyone from the servant staff. The stride was too even, too unhurried, carrying the particular weight of someone who had never learned to move quietly, because they had never needed to. She turned before he spoke. Evander was alone, which surprised her. Alpha Kings did not typically walk the upper corridors without escort during an active investigation. He wore no ceremonial garments, only a dark wool tunic and a traveling cloak he had not yet removed, as though he had come directly from somewhere without stopping to change. He stopped a few feet away and looked at the candle she was holding. "You started your morning tasks," he said. "I always do," she said. "My lord." "Evander," he said. "In private address, Evander is sufficient." She nodded once, accepting this without comment. He looked down the corridor, then back at her. "I have come from Soren's office," he said. "We found the vial you described. Dark glass, no label. The ink matches the margins of the report." Nellie set the candle carefully into its holder. "Is there more?" she asked. "Enough," he said. "There is a second ledger, hidden in the lining of a document case at the back of the lower shelf. It contains records of every diversion over the past 8 months. Names, dates, quantities, destinations. 8 months. The official investigation had only traced 3. "Where were the resources going?" she asked. "To a trading post 2 days east of the Holt Forest. The post is registered under a name that does not correspond to any known pack representative, but the quantities match a supply agreement that Soren negotiated privately 6 months ago with a merchant coalition operating outside pack law." He paused. He was selling the reserves. Not stealing for another pack, not building a rebellion, selling. The simplicity of it was almost worse than a more dramatic betrayal would have been. No ideology, no rival faction, only profit. "The smaller packs were going without," Nellie said, and she did not try to keep the flatness out of her voice. "People were rationing medicine." "Yes," Evander said. "They were." He said it without deflection, which she noted. Men in his position often cushioned that kind of accountability with language that spread responsibility across circumstances, across systems, across the difficulty of governing large territories. He did not do that. "I did not see it," he said. "I trusted the oversight structure and did not look beneath it. That is a failure of my own." Nellie looked at him steadily. "You are looking beneath it now," she said. "Because you made it impossible to look away," he said. There was no flattery in the way he said it. It was an accounting, the same tone he might have used to describe any other sequence of cause and effect. She had provided a piece of information. That information had changed the trajectory of the investigation. He was acknowledging that the way he would acknowledge any consequential fact. Somehow that made it easier to receive than a compliment would have. "Elder Kider will want to speak with you this afternoon," he said. "Formally, as part of the record. I wanted you to know before the summons arrived, so it did not alarm you." "It would not have alarmed me," she said. "No," he said, with something that was almost but not quite a slight change in his expression. "I suspect not." He looked at her for a moment longer in the way she was beginning to recognize, that particular quality of attention that did not perform itself. "You have worked in this castle for 7 years," he said. "Yes." "And in 7 years, have you ever before seen something that concerned you and chosen to say nothing?" The question was direct enough that it deserved a direct answer. "Yes," she said. "More than once?" "Several times." "What was different last night?" Nellie considered the question properly before answering. "The scale," she said. "Small things that concern only me or only one person. I can weigh the cost of speaking against the cost of silence and make a judgment." Last night, the cost of silence was falling on people who were not in that room and had no voice in it at all. He was quiet for a moment.
That is a more principled answer than I received from any of the 20 specialists, he said.
They were looking for a complex solution, Nelly said. Complex problems do not always have complex causes.
No, he agreed.
They do not. He straightened slightly, the movement of someone returning to the business that waited for him. The formal investigation will take several days. During that time, I would prefer you remain within the main castle grounds, rather than the outer yards, for your own security, until Soren's full network of contacts has been identified. It was phrased as a preference, but it was also, she understood, a form of protection.
I will, she said.
He nodded once and turned to go, then stopped. The resources that were diverted, he said, without turning back. The full quantity. I am arranging for replacement shipments to the affected packs. They will arrive before the next cold week. He did not wait for her response. He walked back down the corridor, his steps the same measured, unhurried pace as before, and turned the corner toward the east wing where the investigation was still unfolding. Nelly stood in the corridor for a moment, with an unlit candle in her hand. Then she reached up and set it in the iron holder, and lit it from the one beside it, and the small flame straightened in the still air and held. Down in the kitchen, Bretta was probably already telling someone that the maid from the upper corridors had been seen speaking alone with the Alpha King near the library wing. Word in this castle, as Bretta herself had said, traveled before the people did. Nelly picked up her supply basket and continued down the corridor, and if her steps carried slightly more certainty than they had the morning before, there was no one left in that hallway to measure the difference. The formal questioning took place in the East Wing records room on the second afternoon following the council meeting. Elder Cador sat at the head of a smaller table than the council halls, with two scribes positioned to his left, and the Eastern Pack representative, Aldrich, seated across from him. The room was narrow, and lined with shelves of bound documents, smelling of old paper, and the particular dryness of spaces where windows were kept small to protect the records from weather. A single wide torch bracket on the wall provided the light. Nelly sat in the chair they indicated, and answered every question without hesitation. She described the morning she had found the vial. She described its position in the drawer, the color of the glass, the consistency of the ink at the stopper. She described the report as she had seen it the night of the council meeting, the angle of the torchlight, the difference in sheen between the two inks. She described her 7 years of daily contact with the castle's official ink supply, and why that familiarity had made the anomaly visible to her when it had not been visible to others. Cator listened with the focused stillness of someone who had conducted enough inquiries to know that the quality of a testimony was not measured by its drama, but by its internal consistency. He interrupted only twice, both times to ask her to slow down, and repeat a detail so the scribes could capture it accurately. When she finished, he sat back and looked at her over the table. "You have a precise memory," he said. "I pay attention to things that are out of place," she said. "It is useful in my work." "It is useful beyond your work, apparently," Aldrich said from across the table. He had the manner of someone who formed opinions quickly, and was not overly concerned about whether other people agreed with them. A vial of foreign ink in a desk drawer is the kind of detail most people would file away as unimportant and forget within a week. "I remembered it because it was inconsistent," Nelly said. "The Beta's office is orderly. He is a precise man." An unlabeled vial of unknown ink left in a partially open drawer did not fit the pattern of how he maintains that space. Aldrich exchanged a brief look with Cador. She observed his organizational habits as part of her cleaning routine, Cador said, as though confirming a thought rather than asking a question. "Yes," Nelly said. "Over time, you learn the patterns of the spaces you maintain. When something breaks a pattern, it stays in your memory, even when you do not know yet why it matters." Cador wrote something in his own notes, separate from the scribe's record. Then he set down his quill. "The second ledger found in the Beta's office has been partially decoded," he said. "The delivery destinations confirm what the Alpha King outlined to you yesterday. 8 months of systematic diversion, routed through an unregistered trading post. The quantities are significant." He paused. "Without your testimony, we would have followed the falsified report's conclusions for weeks, possibly longer. The external agents the report blamed do not exist. We would have been searching for phantoms while the real trail went cold." Nellie kept her hand still on the table. "Is the trail cold now?" she asked.
"No,"
Aldrich said, "because we caught it before Soren had any warning to cover the final connections. The trading post has been identified. The merchant coalition is being located." He tilted his head slightly. "The trail is very much alive." The questioning concluded shortly after. One of the scribes read the record back to her, and she confirmed its accuracy. Cador thanked her in the formal language of official proceedings, which felt strange applied to someone in a cleaning maid's apron, but she accepted it without comment. She was in the corridor outside the records room, reorienting herself toward the afternoon task still waiting, when Aldrich fell into step beside her. "I will walk with you a moment," he said, "not as a request." She adjusted her pace to allow it. "You are not from a pack family," he said.
"No,"
she said. "I came to Dawnmere as a child with no pack affiliation. My parents held no rank.
And in 7 years you have remained in the servant staff?"
"Yes."
"By choice or by circumstance?"
She considered the question.
"Both," she said honestly.
"The work suited me. I am good at being unnoticed, and the castle needed people who were good at that."
"The castle also needs people who are good at being noticed at the right moment," Aldrich said.
"That is a rarer skill." She did not respond to that directly. They walked in silence for a few steps before he spoke again.
"The packs of the Greymoor Alliance have a position," he said.
"An administrative role, coordinating communications between the Alliance members and the royal court. It has been vacant for 2 seasons, because we could not find someone with sufficient attention to detail, discretion, and the ability to operate effectively within a complex hierarchy without requiring constant direction." Nellie stopped walking. Aldrich stopped beside her and looked at her with that same quality of direct assessment he had shown in the council hall.
"I am not making a formal offer," he said.
"I do not have the authority to do that unilaterally, and there are processes that would need to be followed. But I am telling you that the position exists, and that after watching you last night and listening to your testimony today, your name will be in my notes when I return to Greymoor." She looked at him steadily.
"I appreciate that," she said.
"You do not seem surprised."
"I try not to make decisions about things before they are actually in front of me," she said.
He studied her for a moment, then gave a short nod that carried something close to approval.
"A sensible approach," he said.
Then he turned and walked back the way they had come, leaving her in the corridor with the afternoon light coming through the narrow window at the far end, laying a long rectangle of pale gold across the stone floor. She stood in it for a moment, thinking. Then she went back to work. The evening of the third day brought the formal conclusion of the preliminary investigation. Nellie was not in the council hall for it. She was in the outer corridor, replacing the wax and the torch brackets along the eastern passage, when Bretta found her with news that traveled, as news in Dawnmere always did, well ahead of any official announcement.
"Soren has confessed," Bretta said, appearing at the corridor's end with the particular energy of someone who had been carrying significant information at a near run.
"Not everything, apparently, but enough. The Merchant Coalition has been identified. 3 of its members are already in custody at the border post." Nellie set down her wax block.
"And Soren?"
"Stripped of the Beta title," Bretta said.
"Pending full trial before the Allied Pack Council. Elder Cator is overseeing the proceedings."
She paused, catching her breath.
"They say Evander conducted the final questioning himself, alone with Soren for 2 hours. No one knows exactly what was said. But when it was over, Soren signed the confession without further argument. Nelly thought about the quality of Evander's silences, about what 2 hours of that particular attention, focused without anger and without theater, might feel like to someone who had been hoping to outlast it. "The smaller packs," she said. "Has there been word about the replacement shipments?" "First wagons left this morning," Bretta said, and her voice softened slightly. "Cador announced it as part of the preliminary findings. Full replacement of all diverted stores to be completed within 10 days. The Alpha King signed the order himself the night of the council meeting. The night of the council meeting. Before the investigation was even formally reopened." Nelly picked up the wax block again and returned to the torch bracket. "Nelly," Britta said, watching her, "you are the reason any of this happened." "I noticed an ink," Nelly said. "You noticed an ink and then chose to say something about it in a room full of powerful men who had every reason to dismiss you," Britta said. "That is not a small thing. Do not make it small." Nelly worked the wax into the bracket without answering immediately. 7 years of making herself small had built habits that did not dissolve in 3 days. She understood that. But Bretta was not wrong, and she was not someone Nelly had ever been able to dismiss easily. "I know," she said quietly. "I know it was not small." Bretta nodded, satisfied with that. They stood together in the corridor for a moment, the way old friends do when words have done their work, and what remains is simply the comfort of being in the same place at the same time. Then Bretta said, with the particular change in tone that meant she had been saving something for last, "The Alpha King has requested your presence tomorrow morning, in the main hall, not for questioning." She paused. "Apparently it is something else." Nelly looked at her. "Did the steward say what?" "The steward said only that it was not a formal proceeding, and that you should present yourself at the second morning bell." Breda's expression carried careful neutrality that was doing a great deal of work. "That is all I know." Nelly turned back to the torch bracket and finished her work in silence. Outside, the wind had picked up, moving through the gaps in the castle's ancient stonework with a low sound that was almost like a voice, and the torches along the corridor swayed slightly in their brackets, sending the shadows moving across the walls in long, slow arcs. She did not sleep easily that night. Not from fear, she told herself. From the unfamiliar weight of not knowing what shape the next morning would take, and the newer, stranger feeling that whatever shape it took, she would be standing in it as someone who had already changed. The second morning bell rang through the castle like it always did, low and resonant, traveling through the stone walls and into the bones of everyone inside them. Nelly was already dressed. She had been awake for an hour before the bell, sitting on the edge of her narrow bed in the gray pre-dawn light, thinking with the particular clarity that comes only in the quiet before the world begins moving again. She had settled something in herself during those early hours. Whatever the morning brought, she would receive it as herself, not as the version of herself that had spent 7 years making careful calculations about how much space she was allowed to occupy. The version that had stood in the council hall 3 nights ago and spoken when it mattered. She braided her hair, straightened her apron, and walked to the main hall at the second bell. The hall was not empty. Evander stood near the central hearth, where a fire had already been built up against the morning cold. He was not alone. Elder Cador was present, seated at a small table to the side with the formal posture of someone fulfilling an official function. Aldrich stood near the window, looking out at the pale morning sky over the courtyard. And beside the hearth, standing with his arms crossed in an expression of open curiosity that he did not bother to conceal, was a man Nelly had not seen before. He was roughly Evander's age, with lighter coloring and the kind of easy stance that suggested he was comfortable in most situations and actively entertained by the rest. The insignia on his collar identified him as belonging to the Ashford Pack,
one of the Northern Alliance members. He looked at Nelly when she entered with the particular attention of someone who had been told something interesting and was now comparing the description to the reality. "She is smaller than I expected," he said, to no one in particular. "Garrett," Evander said, with the tone of someone who had said one name in that particular way many times before. "It is an observation, not a criticism," the man said, unfolding his arms. "Good morning. I am Garrett. I am the Alpha King's oldest friend and currently his least official advisor. I was not at the council meeting because I had the poor timing to be returning from the northern border that night, which means I missed the most interesting thing that has happened in this castle in 4 years and have had to reconstruct it entirely from second-hand accounts, which is deeply unsatisfying." Nelly looked at him for a moment. "Good morning," she said. Garrett smiled with the uncomplicated warmth of someone who genuinely liked people and was not strategic about showing it. Evander stepped forward from the hearth. "Thank you for coming," he said. "I will be direct with you, as I think you prefer." "I do," she said. "The beta position is vacant," he said. "It will remain vacant for some time while the formal trial proceeds and the Allied Council determines the appropriate structure going forward. That process will take months. In the interim, the coordination functions that Soren held, supply oversight, record verification, communication between the castle and the Allied Pacts, need to be managed by someone." He paused. "I am not offering you the beta title. That is a formal rank that carries requirements of pack lineage and council confirmation that would take time to navigate. What I am offering is a role as senior administrative coordinator, with full access to the supply records, the route ledgers, and direct reporting authority to me and to Elder Cador during the interim period." The room was very quiet. Nelly looked at Evander steadily. "You are offering this to a castle maid," she said. "I am offering it to the person who identified a fraud that 20 specialists missed," he said, "who has 7 years of detailed knowledge of this castle's internal systems, who demonstrated under pressure the capacity to make a consequential decision with incomplete information and accept the personal risk that came with it." He paused. "The title on the door matters less to me than the quality of the person behind it," Elder Cador spoke from his seat at the side table. "The offer has been reviewed and approved by the Allied Council representatives present," he said formally. "It is a legitimate administrative appointment, with documented authority and defined responsibilities." Aldrich turned from the window. "My endorsement is part of that approval," he said. "For what it is worth." Nelly took a slow breath. She thought about 7 years of stone corridors and ink ledgers and early mornings. She thought about the night she had stood in the council hall with an empty tray in her hands and made the most frightening decision of her life. She thought about the smaller packs, the ones whose names she did not know, whose children had been rationing medicine because a man with a carefully maintained smile had decided their welfare was a resource he could sell. She thought about what Brita had said in the corridor. "Do not make it small." "I accept," she said. Garrett exhaled loudly. "Good," he said. "Because Cador has been staring at those supply ledgers for 2 days, and I think one more hour of it might actually finish him." "Garrett," Cador said, with the patience of a man who had been applying that same patience to the same person for a very long time. "I am being supportive," Garrett said. Evander looked at Nelly with an expression that was as close to relieved as she suspected his face typically allowed itself to be. "You will begin this week," he said. "Cador will walk you through the current state of the records. The most urgent task is reconstructing the accurate supply history for the past 8 months, identifying every point where the records were altered, and establishing the true baseline before the replacement shipments are logged." "I can begin today," she said. "Today," he repeated, and this time, there was no question in it. The weeks that followed were the hardest and most absorbing of Nelly's life. The supply records were a layered document of deliberate deception, 8 months of careful falsification woven through legitimate entries in a way that required patient, methodical unraveling. Nellie worked through them with Cater in the mornings, and alone in the afternoons, cross-referencing the hidden ledger found in Soren's office against the official castle records, building a complete and accurate picture of everything that had been taken and where it had gone. Brita brought her tea at intervals and did not ask many questions, which was its own form of support. The trial of Soren took place 6 weeks after the council meeting, before the full Allied Pact Council convened in Donmir's Great Hall. Nellie was called to give testimony as part of the official record. She sat in the same room where she had first spoken, at a table this time rather than along the wall, and answered every question put to her with the same precision she had brought to everything since that night. Soren sat across the hall with his council-appointed representative. He looked older than he had at the council meeting, diminished in the particular way that people become when the structure they relied upon to appear powerful has been removed. He did not look at Nellie during her testimony. The council found him responsible on all charges. The Merchant Coalition members received separate judgments through the border jurisdictions where they had operated. The trading post was permanently closed, and its assets seized and redistributed to the affected packs. It was not a dramatic ending. It was a procedural one, which was in many ways more thorough. The replacement shipments reached every affected pack within the promised 10 days. Nellie knew this because she had tracked every wagon herself, cross-referencing departure times against the route ledgers, until each delivery was confirmed. When the last confirmation came in, she sat in the records room alone for a moment and felt something settle in her chest that she did not immediately have a name for. It was closer to completion than to victory, quieter than either. On the morning the Allied Council representatives prepared to depart Donmir, Aldrich sought her out in the records room. "The position in Greymoor," he said. "It remains available." "I know," she said. "And?" She looked around the records room, at the shelves now properly organized, the ledgers accurately reconstructed, the system that had been quietly hollowed out from within, now restored to something that could actually be trusted. "I am needed here," she said. "For now." Aldrich nodded slowly. "For now," he repeated, in a tone that understood the phrase was not a permanent answer. "If that changes," she said, "I will find a way to let you know." He accepted that and left without ceremony, which she appreciated. Garrett found her in the eastern corridor that same afternoon, in almost the same spot where she had been replacing candles when Evander had come to tell her about the hidden ledger. "He is not good at saying things," Garrett said, without preamble, falling into step beside her. She looked at him. "The Alpha King," Garrett said. "He is precise, and he is fair, and he is genuinely one of the best leaders I have known in my life. But the territory between what he thinks and what he says out loud is considerable, and sometimes the people around him do not realize that the thinking is happening at all." "I have noticed he is precise," Nellie said carefully. "He respects you," Garrett said. "More than that, he trusts your judgment, which is something he extends to very few people and never quickly." He paused. "I am telling you this because I think you should know it, and because he will not say it in those words, probably ever." Nellie considered that. "Thank you," she said. Garrett nodded, satisfied, and turned back the way he had come. She continued down the corridor. At the far end, where the passage opened onto the upper balcony overlooking the castle's inner courtyard, Evander was standing at the stone railing, looking out at the yard below, where the departing delegations were preparing their horses. He did not turn when she approached, but the slight shift in his posture indicated he had heard her. She stood beside him and looked out at the courtyard. "The last confirmation came in this morning," she said. "All replacement shipments delivered?" "I know," he said. "Cador told me." They stood in silence for a moment. Below, horses moved and voices called instructions across the yard, and the pale winter sun made the old stone of the castle walls look almost warm. "You could have stayed silent that night," he said. "Most people would have.
I know, she said. What you built in that records room over the past 6 weeks, he said, is more reliable than anything we have had in 3 years. The system is transparent now. Auditable. He paused. That matters more than the trial did. The trial mattered, she said. Yes, he said. But it looked backward. What you built looks forward. She thought about that. Below in the courtyard, Aldrich's horses moved toward the gate. Garrett appeared at the yard's edge and said something to one of the departing guards that made the man laugh unexpectedly. Bred across the yard with a basket of provisions for the road, efficient and unhurried, as she always was. I would like you to stay, Evander said. Not as an interim appointment. Permanently. As part of the council's administrative structure, with full standing. She looked at him. His eyes were on the courtyard, but the attention behind them was directed at her answer. Full standing, she said. Your own seat at the table, he said. Your own voice in the decisions that affect what you have spent 6 weeks reconstructing. She thought about the narrow room in the servants' quarters. About 7 years of gray mornings and invisible work, and the accumulation of knowledge that everyone around her had consistently failed to recognize as knowledge at all. She thought about a council hall, and a silver tray, and two inks that should not have existed in the same document. Yes, she said. I will stay. He turned and looked at her then, directly, in that way that gave nothing unnecessary, but withheld nothing true. Good, he said. It was a simple word, but it carried the particular weight of someone who had chosen it carefully from among several others and decided it was the most honest one. Below, the last of the delegations passed through the castle gate. The courtyard grew quieter. The winter sun moved a fraction across the sky, and the shadows on the old stone walls shifted with it, slow and certain. The way things move when they are settling into a new position and intend to hold it. Nellie stood at the railing beside the Alpha King of Dawnmere and watched the gates close on the world that had, until 6 weeks ago, contained the entire shape of her life. Then she turned toward the records room, where the work was already waiting, and walked back to it with the steady step of someone who knew exactly where she was going. Behind her, she heard Evander follow. The castle carried on around them, ancient and unhurried, as it had for centuries before, and would for centuries after, full of corridors that smelled of wax and wood smoke, full of torches that needed tending, and ledgers that needed keeping, and decisions that needed to be made by people who were paying close enough attention to make them well. Nellie was paying attention. She always had been. Now, finally, the right people knew it.